Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, not then a justice, was nominated by the president to sit on the United States Supreme Court. With all deference to Justice O'Connor, that was the first time, at least in my memory, when a nominee essentially did not answer very many questions. I asked her questions, other members of the committee asked her questions, and she essentially sort of began this tradition of just not answering questions. And again, I have the highest regard for Justice O'Connor. I think she's been a great judge, great justice of the United States Supreme Court. But I must say, it just kind of bothered me, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, that a nominee was not answering questions. It just didn't seem right. Well, you know, we, at that time, decided, well, okay, just, you know, she seems like a very good person. She was in a state senate, I think, in her home state of New Mexico, so let's vote to confirm her. We're now faced with the situation where Mr. Estrada is not answering any questions whatsoever, and he's not providing other information to the committee. There aren't very many decisions we can make that will be more important. There are not very many. And why is that? That's because these are lifetime appointments. Mr. President, you run for re-election. I do. Everybody in this body, every few years, every 6 years, everybody in the other body, every 2 years, every governor, virtually every 4 years, sometimes 2 years, every president, 4 years, except for those that cannot run for re-election because of the constitutional requirement, face the voters. We're held accountable. Voters have a chance to either elect us, re-elect us, or not. But boy, once someone has put the United States Federal Judiciary in Article III position, that's life. That's for life. And I believe that's the way it should be. Why? Because these are the people we want to be totally fair, totally impartial, to do what's right, and not be swayed by the instant, you know, temporary whims and vogues of the moment. Responsibility. I think that when voters elect us, you know, they basically say, Senator, we don't know all the ins and outs of what's going to go on back there in Washington, D.C., but we want you to do the right thing. That's what we want you to do. Do the right thing. Just don't do something nutty or crazy. Just basically do the right thing. Most people just, you know, they give us a lot of latitude so long as it kind of sounds right, it fits right, it smells right, and really is right. You know, Mr. President, I got to tell you, it does not sound right. It does not fit right. It does not smell right. It does not seem right for this body to confirm somebody who will not answer any questions and who will not give us relevant information and who has no prior history, so it's hard for us to know. I'll bet you this, Mr. President. I'll bet you many down that Justice Department and others, perhaps in the White House, sat down with Mr. Estrada and asked him a lot of questions. I bet he gave them a lot of answers. I'll bet there's somebody in this operation who's supporting his nomination in the executive branch who knows a lot about this, Mr. Estrada, had long conversations with him. If they do, which is proper, entirely proper. In fact, it's imperative and it's an obligation they have to ask him questions, particularly before the president suggests a nominee to the D.C. Court of Appeals. If they do, so should we have the information in the United States Senate. We have an equal responsibility, to know how he feels about certain issues, side with the president, who should be or should not be on our federal judiciary. Pretty simple. It's our third branch of government. It's our third of the main three branches of the three branches of government. And if it's not right that one branch of government should dictate who does or who does not sit on the United States Supreme Court, that's not right. Rather, it's a joint decision. It's a joint decision. It's a decision which, just as the president took very seriously, it's a decision that we have an obligation to take equally seriously. You know, it reminds me a little bit, Mr. President, of back in the, how many years ago, is when an earlier president, President Franklin Roosevelt, decided he didn't agree with Supreme Court decisions. He didn't agree with it. So what did he do? He came up with an idea to add more justices to the United States Supreme Court. you know, it's colloquially referred to as the court packing attempt by President Roosevelt. Well, the United States said it stood up. It said, no, that's the wrong thing to do. And I'm very proud to say that the senator who stood up was from Montana. It was the Burton K. Wheeler, Senator Wheeler. And he said, no, it's the wrong thing to do. And just as he stood up, Mr. President, I think we have an obligation here in the United States Senate to stand up when it's the wrong thing to do, that is, to pass judgment on, to decide, to agree with the president's decision, where we have no information, where he will not answer questions, he will not tell us what he thinks, what is this person really all about, you know, the sense of the guy, where is he, where's his soul, who is he? That's what we have to determine in deciding whether or not he should be placed on the D.C. Court of Appeals, Mr. President. I say very, very respectfully. I might add that the D.C. Court of Appeals is no ordinary garden variety appellate court. It's sort of a special appellate court. And that's because it's of so many decisions made by federal agencies go to the D.C. Court of Appeals as opposed to the Ninth Circuit or the Fourth Circuit or whatnot. There's so many of them. There are environmental laws, for example. There are labor laws that go primarily to the D.C. Court of Appeals, for which Mr. Estrada has been nominated, much more than to other courts. And these decisions affect all of us around the country. They don't just affect the D.C. Circuit or people who reside in the D.C. Circuit. They affect all Americans.